Hello again, my Advent friends. Today is the second Sunday of Advent, and our Bible chapter is Matthew 1. And today you all get to meet my good friend Peyton Jones, the teacher of our Matthew series. And you know what else? We light another candle. What is it about candle lighting that gets kids so excited? Maybe it's the anticipation. I remember what drove me crazy on the early Sundays that we only lit one candle for each Sunday and the rest had to wait. But let's get to it. Now, following the process, you should already have the first candle lit. Or hint, relight it now. My hope candle happens to smell like vanilla pumpkin. It's quite lovely. And candle number two has our next theme, peace. Now, last time I told you that hope is something we choose. But I think of peace more as something that we surrender to. Colossians 3 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful." I've always marveled at that verse. Let his peace rule, like it's in charge. The heart has all kinds of concerns and emotions fighting for priority, but something's got to lead. Colossians says, "Let peace rule, Jesus' peace, which is not an emotion, but a reality and a gift." Jesus says, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives." His peace is different. Worldly peace is external and temporary. The peace of Christ rules your heart for good. As for my year this year, I needed it. There was a lot. 3 weddings, 1 cancer, wife in surgery, and not one, but 2 new grandkids. One day, I was at the same hospital twice, baby bedside and chemo bedside, and a whole lot of busyness to boot. The emotions ran the gamut, and I needed peace to rule. And it was promised at Jesus' birth by the angels themselves. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. And in our story today, Joseph will need it when engagement to Mary takes a surprising turn. And we will also get the words that set my heart at rest. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. For me, those 3 words are peace. God with us. And with that, it's time to light our second candle to peace. Lighter's ready, light it up, and let's pray. Lord, we light this candle together to honor the coming of Jesus, and we invite your peace to rule in our hearts. In Jesus' strong name, amen. And now it's time for me to hand it over to Peyton for our second Bible Advent chapter in Matthew 1.
Matthew tells us Jesus is the Messiah in verse 1. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The Messiah? What was the Messiah? The Jewish title of Messiah meant Savior, literally anointed one, the one anointed by God as a warrior to save his people. But we'll come back to that. Savior from what, though? People today don't think they need saving from anything. I don't know if you've ever watched someone destroying their life and you think, man, I could help you. But you know that they don't think they have a problem. Well, Jesus' lineage, if we look at this list of so-and-so begat so-and-so, tells us right away that we all need saving, mostly from ourselves. Jesus' lineage is actually filled with a colorful cast of characters. There's polygamists, prostitutes, murderers, and a whole rogues gallery that tells us Jesus came from a less than perfect pedigree. But that's the whole point. Jesus wasn't descended from them. Not really. Jesus' birth, we'll find in this chapter, was of the Holy Spirit, meaning he wouldn't be the sinner that they were or we all are. Jesus' heritage shows that everyone needs saving. But that's not why Matthew put it in there. No, Matthew knew his audience. The Jews who would read his gospel, his account of Jesus' life, would look for proof that Jesus was the Messiah. And in the temple, there were records that could be searched to verify that Jesus was in fact descended from David. You see, all Jews were descended from Abraham. And Abraham received a precious promise way back in the book of Genesis, at the very beginning of becoming the people of God, a promise that the Savior, thousands of years, would come from his line. From Abraham's body, his descendants would come the Savior. And David, 1,000 years later, received a promise that from his tribe, the tribe of Judah, one of the 12 tribes of Israel, would come the king whose reign would never end. He would not only save his people from their sins, he would be a king worth serving. And in some ways, David wasn't. He cheated on his wife or wives, murdered others, and was desperately in need of a savior himself. And to these two men, the promise of a savior was made by God. And the term Son of David was a nickname for the Messiah. But Jesus has a whole host of names coming to him before this chapter's done. Let's jump into the story in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Uh-oh. Being pledged to be married meant an engagement. But in those days, your parents arranged your marriage for you, and you lived with your parents for at least 1 year to make sure that you didn't sleep with anyone else and entered the marriage as a virgin. If Mary were to turn up pregnant, it would imply that she had been messing around, either with Joseph or with someone else. Let's see what happens in verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So, Joseph is in a pickle. He was faithful to the law, but also a decent man to boot. He knew he hadn't slept with Mary, so how could he marry her if she'd already been unfaithful to him? But he also didn't want to make her a public spectacle. He didn't want to disgrace her. He wanted to quietly drop the whole thing and move on. Mary's reputation would take a hit, but Joseph still didn't want to trash her. Verse 20. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The angel gives him the name Jesus, or at least tells Joseph, you'll give him that name. Jesus meant God saves. The angel says, because he will save his people from their sins. So that's what Jesus saves us from, huh? And although that was his birth name, there was also a nickname that the angel talked about as well. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, there's our birth name. And then there's often a name that others give us based on some behavior that we exhibit. In this case, Jesus would show people God is with us. When they got around him, they would somehow just know that. God with us. God for us. And Joseph was going to need God to be with him and for him, because marrying Mary as a pregnant teen would trash his own reputation. But verse 24 tells us, he did what the angel the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Naming Jesus was a sign that Joseph was accepting Jesus as his own, adopting him as his son. That didn't mean that Joseph was unaware that this child was the Son of God, quite literally. Another term that would stick. There was a lot that Joseph didn't understand. Like, why it had to be this way? Why all the shame if God was in this? And how would God save people from their sins through this little baby boy? Well, whatever God was up to, it seemed like Joseph had a front row seat. But he'd have to wait for this child to grow, just as we'll have to wait till the next chapter to find more about this infant's destiny and how it affects the destiny of us all.
And that's it once again. Thank you, Peyton, for guiding us through Matthew 1. Now it's your turn at home to share what peace has meant to you this year. Let's close with a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the peace of Advent. As we move ahead toward Christmas, help us understand how to let your peace rule in our hearts every day. Help us know the peace that the angels proclaimed and be an instrument of your peace on earth. In Jesus' strong name, amen. That's it, guys. When you're all done, you can blow out the candles and we'll light them up again next Sunday. And if you're following Mark with me on the weekdays, this week is really good. Not too late to start. I'll see you there.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.